But first to the week in rural news with Tony Allen. And Tony, a few more details emerging about the agricultural sanctions from Russia.
Yes, the week's pretty much been dominated by the fallout from the announcement a week ago that Russia was going to ban a range of things from Western countries, including food imports or a range of food imports from Australia. And some of our exports are affected quite directly, but there is an interesting indirect effect, first of all, for the dairy industry. Now, Russia's ban is going to affect quite badly the EU zone, which produces a third of the world's dairy products and does sell a large amount to Russia. Now, Australia doesn't send much dairy to Russia, but we do send a lot of dairy everywhere else. Dairy Australia's Charlie McAlone says Europe could send its produce elsewhere and subsidise its farmers more to make up for this lost market, and that could cut world dairy prices.
We're very cognizant that the European Union does have a couple of levers at their disposal, the main one being export subsidies, which they use infrequently, but when they use it, it is a negative on the international market situation. We saw that used just after the global financial crisis and obviously acts to further depress international prices at times when there is already instability.
Now, if you've put oranges on the water to Russia right now, you'd be wondering where to send them because they will have to be diverted to new markets. 20 container loads of Aussie oranges are not going to get to their destination. Citrus Australia's Andrew Harty says Russia bought $2.4 million worth of Australian oranges last year.
Right now, there's going to be some pain for the exporters, the seven or eight companies that have in total around 20 containers in transit on the way to Russia. New buyers will have to be found. So invariably, it'll end up at some lower value market, and that means that the return back eventually to the farm gate is going to be less.
Russia is also the world's biggest importer of cherries. And Australia sends cherries to Russia, not a huge amount, but they do come from places like Tasmania and Victoria. And Scott Copeland from the New South Wales Cherry Growers Association says only 66 tonnes of Australian cherries went to Russia last year, but it's an emerging market and it had huge potential.
The Russian export market is very large. They'll actually import up to 80,000 tonne of cherries, and the potential is enormous, given when we do produce cherries, there's no one else in the world producing cherries at the same time. There's been somebody that has actually been exporting to that market and trying to develop that market. They've put a lot of time, effort and resources into that market.
Now, since we heard about cuts to the CSIRO budget in the federal budget, there's been sort of details slowly emerging about where those cuts will happen.
Yes, eight jobs are going to go from the Australian Animal Health Laboratory at Geelong in Victoria. Now, that doesn't sound a lot because it's only part of $110 million in budget cuts to the CSIRO. And the lab itself at Geelong employs 250 people. So as a percentage, it's quite a small cut. But these people are veterinary scientists. The lab is the only one of its kind in the region. It's equipped to handle deadly pathogens. It's been looking at things like Ebola lately. And from an agricultural point of view, its researchers have done things like diagnose bird flu outbreaks, and they've also developed the Hendra vaccine for horses. Now, the director of the Animal Health Lab, Kurt Zelke, says the staff affected by the job cuts, it's hoped to redeploy them, but they do specialise in microbiology and virology. He denies work on Hendra and bird flu will be jeopardised.
These cuts won't compromise any of the safety practices or the security practices at all, nor will they impact any of the critical research that's recently been in the news around our work with Ebola, SARS virus, and influenza. These are solely research positions, so the diagnostic lab won't be affected.
Now, for its part, the federal government, through Industry Minister Ian McFarlane, says the CSIRO will still get more than $3 billion over the next 4 years. It will remain a world-leading scientific institution. But the lab hasn't ruled out further job cuts, and that's worried Nobel laureate Professor Peter Doherty from Melbourne Uni. He's worked with the researchers. He says he doesn't expect this lot of cuts to affect the quality of research, but any further cuts could be problematic.
It can handle a very dangerous virus or infection of any sort under what we call level 4 conditions, and it can actually work with them in animals. I mean, it can work with them in animals as big as cattle. There's nothing else in this part of the world, the Southern Hemisphere and Southeast Asia, that can do that.
It's been very chilly where I live, -4 and -5 in the mornings, and that's the case across a lot of eastern Australia.
Yes, Canberra is one of the places that's been hit too. It's had a string of -4, -5 mornings over the past couple of weeks, and while we talk a lot about warming, there's a lot of cooling going on at the moment. And frost, of course, in winter is not an unusual thing in areas where they grow grain, but the frost is so widespread and heavy this winter, and particularly the last couple of weeks, the severity and the damage that they've caused to crops have surprised many of the growers. The CSIRO's James Hunt says it's a bit hard to assess the damage because this event is so unusual.
Yeah, a lot of people are sort of only just checking crops now and finding things that don't seem quite right and trying to work out what it all means. We're sort of looking to other regions like the Darling Downs of Queensland that get these events more regularly to work out what the implications might be.
Yeah, so until the crop grows further, we won't really know. But one crop that is troubled, we know, are lupins in Victoria. Lupins are used for animal feed, and some growers think the frost has fully destroyed patches of their crops. Agronomist Andrew McMain from the Mallee in northwest Victoria says it's too early to tell definitive, but the damage does look widespread.
I'd say just due to the extreme temperatures that we received started last week, with 4 days sort of being -3, -4 all in a row, I'd say most lupin crops have got some level of frost effect at the moment.
Well, despite the frosts and the drought in northern Australia, there's still a good estimate of the wheat crop. The Australian crop forecasters predict the wheat harvest will be nearly 25 million tonnes.
That's a pretty big one, actually, isn't it?
It is, and they've upped their estimate for the crop in Western and South Australia, so that's pretty good. Still down a bit in New South Wales and Queensland. Grains industry analyst Nathan Cattle, though, says that frost hasn't been seriously considered by the market yet.
It's hard to say whether the market's actually factored in that damage yet. If I hazard a guess, I'd suggest no. But no doubt, I mean, we're all looking at it and all trying to work out, well, what is this crop shape going to look like coming out harvest time?
Two independent federal MPs are going to put a motion to the next sitting of federal parliament to legalise the use of industrial hemp for human consumption in Australia. Now, this is not to be confused with the debate over whether medicinal cannabis should be legalised, which is a debate that has been raging lately, but we're talking about a different sort of hemp. You can smoke all you like of the industrial hemp and it won't give you any buzz whatsoever. It's used for things like seeds, oil and fibre, and it's legal in Australia so far. Andrew Wilkie from Tasmania and the independent MP Cathy McGowan from Northeast Victoria are going to join forces with this motion. I don't know how it will go, but they hope to get parliamentary support for legalisation of industrial hemp. And it's not something that the states have got around to agreeing to yet. Mr. Wilkie says industrial hemp crops are worth millions of dollars in countries like Britain, the US and Canada, and it's frustrating that Australian farmers can't enter that market.
The problem appears to be a lack of political will in Canberra and among the states to agitate for this. You know, the experts are recommending it. It's clearly a lucrative, sustainable, safe and nutritious product, but for some reasons politicians are reluctant to give the go-ahead.
Yeah, the feeling is it'll grow pretty well in Australia. You can buy hemp clothing, of course, already, but they won't do things like use the seeds in bread products.
And cooking. The oil's meant to be quite nice. Mm, and in beauty products and things as well, apparently.
Oh, that's beyond my realm, that one.
Not at all, Tony. Not at all. Thank you for that.
I shan't be rubbing hemp on myself.
Thanks, Tony.
Thank you.
Tony Allen with the week's rural news.